KQED Public Radio in San Francisco, I'm Michael Krasny. Coming up on Forum, not all the news that is reported or highlighted from the myriad of news sources that are out there is bad news, but a good deal of it, unfortunately, is. Ever need just to tune out or to ask yourself, do I really need to hear this, see these images of war or mayhem or environmental disaster, or have my kids or their kids exposed? This coming hour of Forum, we ask you, our listeners, if you ever do simply tune out when it comes to news stories, or feel like tuning out, or say to yourself or to whomever that you need to filter certain news stories out. How much news do we really need? And which news stories actually help us not only to be more informed, but more important, to be better and more productive citizens? We'll hear from you on the topic in the hour ahead. After this. From KQED Public Radio in San Francisco, I'm Michael Krasny. Good morning and welcome to this morning's Forum. Sometimes it's difficult to follow the news, not so much in keeping up, though that can have its challenges, but in taking it all or most of it in. Have you ever felt overwhelmed by stories that are simply too upsetting or too overwhelming? The BP oil spill, with its graphic images of environmental disaster and small birds and bigger mammals soaked in oil. Natural disasters like the devastating earthquake in Haiti, war scenes of battle or maddening lethal explosions in Iraq or Afghanistan, rapes and killings and child abductions. We hear a lot about news fatigue and disaster fatigue and compassion fatigue, but the real core question we want to throw out to you in this hour of Forum is whether fatigue, stress, anxiety, or just plain self-protection can make you choose to opt out of exposing yourself to certain kinds of news coverage. And we welcome your calls. In fact, you can join us now. I'm going to give out our toll-free number and invite you to join us. It's 866-733-6786. And that toll-free number, again, whether you're listening on radio, internet, or Sirius satellite, and this will be a mostly all-listener call-in hour, is 866-733-6786. You can also, of course, send an email to us, forum@kqed.org, or post a comment on our website, kqed.org/forum, and click on this segment. The real question of whether or not, with so many news sources, you need to often expose yourself to certain kinds of news coverage. And there are a lot to choose from, certainly. One is bombarded with information. A good deal of it can be painful to absorb. So why is it important even to know or to be apprised of what is going on, especially in far-off foreign and remote places? And what's the value of staying up on the news to citizenship or to overall knowledge or to you personally? And is keeping up to date on difficult news stories put you more or less at ease? That's really what we're going to deal with, and we want to hear from you on this topic of the exposure to news coverage. And I should add that there is a crisis, of course, in terms of news sources, with more layoffs and less depth in coverage. And nearly every study on the subject of who keeps up with the news tells us, to no great surprise, that those under 40 of that generation tend to keep up less and less than those over 40. Let's find out what your thoughts are on this, and let's begin with you, Peter, in Berkeley. Good morning.
Hi, good morning, Michael. Well, yeah, I just think it might be enough. I think what you're saying is really, really true. I know I personally experienced that. Just to be able to function, you have to tune out some of it. I think people need something to look forward to, and one opportunity, it seems to me, for KQED, FM, TV, and the networks is to do some kind of a good news emphasis program, maybe a digest with some of the best of the stories, with uplifting news that could be repeated, once a week, and even draw from the commercial stations. That's been an idea of the Star Alliance Foundation for some time, and, you know, it can't be done all by us, but certainly in cooperation, I think it would be very welcomed.
Okay, I thank you for that call to lead us off here in this discussion, and well, I think at KQED we do provide a great deal of public service where news is concerned. But look, there's a lot of news that people don't want to hear. And I'm not being negative here. I think, you know, internalizing the news sometimes can bring a good deal of stress, anxiety, and concern. But there's also that whole sense of just being cognizant of what's going on. I remember it was a geology professor of mine when I was an undergraduate who came in and said, Red China, that's his words, that's what it was called at the time, has declared war on the United States. And there were shrieks and howls. And he said, this shows how uninformed you all are. This is not true. I just made this up to show you how you don't keep up with the news. And like I said, we have people now, some of you may have heard Science Friday, where there was a discussion with professor from Tulane who has written a book on the subject of those who tune out, and as I suppose it's understandable, those I'm sorry, this wasn't on Science Friday. This was David Mindich, who we spoke with, who wrote a book on why Americans under 40 don't follow the news. It was called Tuned Out. And a lot of it has to do with apathy, as you might imagine, but a lot of it has to do with just not wanting to hear these stories or not wanting to view the television news, which has, you know, if it bleeds, it leads, is kind of their anthem and their way of seeing things in terms of what you supposedly want. Stephen joins us from Piedmont. Hi, Stephen.
Hi.
Yes, sir. You're on the air.
Okay. Well, I was just commenting on how I had to basically stop listening to the news about the time the recession hit because the job that I had shut down. And I was going out and, you know, hitting the pavements looking for work every day. And probably the first couple months wasn't, you know, I was like, well, I'll get something. But then when pretty much on NPR, I just kept hearing all these stories about how many people were out of work, what the, you know, the outcome was on their lives and how difficult it was and marriages having trouble. And it really was demotivating and inhibiting for me to, you know, get out there and, you know, sell.
I can understand how it would bum you out and make you not want to pound the pavements.
Yeah, so I was like, job's more important. I got to turn off the news, you know.
I understand, and I think that's a good example of, and there are people who think, can I really listen to this bad economic news when, you know, I've got my stocks and I've got my investments and I've got my retirement pension and all those kinds of things? I mean, just, there's a guy who's out of work and he's thinking, boy, I don't need to hear this. This is exactly the sort of thing that, but then you get into that troubling question, how much do you really need to hear the news? How much in terms of your own, as I said, informed citizenship? Looking at some comments that are coming into us, listener named Lee says, I find I have to limit my exposure to the repeated stories and photos of heartbreaking events. Example, Haiti, oil-soaked birds and mammals, people losing jobs. The constant viewing of all this tragedy makes me feel so helpless and pained. I do all I can to donate to causes which help people, but still the images keep coming. And here's Andrea who writes, since day one of the oil spill in the Gulf, I knew it would be the worst spill in American history. Although it makes me feel ill to watch this terrible drama unfold, I have never been more attuned to the news. I become obsessed with listening to NPR and reading the Huffington Post as they have constant updates on the oil spill almost hourly. I feel helpless and depressed, but I can't tune out. I can only hope that President Obama will seize in this opportunity and push forward major spending for renewable energy. And Benji writes, the 24-hour news cycle is dumbing down the news. I don't filter out the important news, but the inconsequential news. With the oil crisis, most news services ran the story about Obama saying, kicking ass, who cares besides the news pundits? And we'll talk with somebody from Pew Research later on, but they have some interesting figures about this. Close to 6 in 10 of those queried followed the oil spill very carefully or said they followed it closely. That's 60%. That's, you know, pretty high as the crow flies. And that compares to 52% with the Exxon Valdez story a number of years ago. 73% said they followed closely the story of Katrina. But then we get into some other figures that are really, well, challenging. West Virginia mine disaster, 33%. The two Korea standoff, 19%. The debate about don't ask, don't tell, 16%. And unrest over the drug dealer arrest in Jamaica, 9%. So that gives you some sense of the continuum here that we're talking about. Let me go to more of your calls. Richard joins us. Hi, Richard.
Hi, Michael. Thank you for this program. So I want to make a quick analogy, if I may, to that was made by one of my most favorite people in the world, my spouse. And I moved her back to my hometown in the East, a little town in Connecticut, years ago, where they still had a fire whistle, which called the volunteer firemen in from all the reaches of the town. Well, within a few years, of course, the town had grown enough and everyone had electronic devices that made the whistle more obsolete. And they wound up doing away with the audible siren to do this. And my wonderful spouse observed in this moment, she said, you know, it was troubling sometimes, it bothered me sometimes, but I could always say a little prayer to send to the people And I think if we're all intelligent and use the volume on the radio and use the dial on the television, that we can all be more informed and be supportive of stations like KQED and other forms where we're getting information, but when we need a rest, to take the rest and send a prayer.
Thank you, Richard. Good to hear from you this morning. That's Richard in Sebastopol, and we go all the way to Philadelphia and welcome Bob as our next caller. Hi, Bob.
Hi, Michael. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
You know, I invested a solid 2 years following the last presidential campaign and found that I became completely exhausted as a result of that whole effort. And it occurred to me that all I really needed to do to get my serenity back was to just cash out and decide not to follow it anymore, and in the 11th hour, just tune back in and find out whoever Rush Limbaugh and Beck and Hannity and those guys were advocating and simply vote in the opposite direction, and I would be a much more serene and probably a much better person.
And you don't even have to listen to them. You just have to know who they're behind, huh?
Well, pretty much. I mean, and your earlier caller made a comment about, you know, subscribing to a good news only publication. I've tried to do that online, and you know, the problem with those is that they just wind up being too gee whizzy, Michael.
Yeah, I understand, and I think,
you know?
Thank you, Bob, for that. Too gee whizzy is a good way to put it. Remember that line of Bertolt Brecht, the great German playwright, who said, "The man who laughs has not yet been told the terrible news." I think I've cited that line on a few occasions because it seems to exemplify what, for many people, is just the mordant nature of all of the bad news that we're avalanched with. Getting back to, you know, how much one needs to be informed, David Mindick, whom I mentioned earlier from St. Michael's College, who wrote the book, turned out, said that a lot of being tuned out has to do with just people being impatient, and particularly with the young people who feel that they can't make a difference, or it doesn't really matter if they know things because there isn't a necessity to be informed, because what does it mean to be informed when the information they have can't necessarily go somewhere or be applied? Use the example of college kids only knowing about 2% of them knowing about fees being jacked up on college loans, on the interest on college loans. And, you know, there it is again, the younger generation even being less informed. I mean, the average age of a newspaper reader is, what, about 55 years of age now? But most people get their news online from the younger generation, if they get their news at all. Here's a younger listener who says, as someone who is 24 years old, I believe it's our duty as the most wealthy, privileged people in the world to pay attention to the news, because it's our country whose policies and actions impact the rest of the world on economic, environmental, and social levels. We need to hold our politicians and businesses accountable, which I think means we need to have the courage and diligence to follow the news and act upon it. Wayne writes, the opportunity to opt out of heavy, painful stories would be as welcome to me as finding a fire hydrant to a dog with a full bladder. Thank you, God. Just as the internet inundates people with way too much information, way too much of today's stories are terribly painful to hear at every juncture, whether it's via newspapers, TV, or radio. Given full stories would be available by linking to background sites such as this one at the discretion of people when emotionally ready. I would so love to opt out of extended bad news that bearing bad news. I'm afraid I have a pain threshold that needs occasional relief. And another listener, Paul, says, I've heard it told that former Chief Justice Oliver Wendell Holmes, when asked why he always read the sports section of the newspaper first, answered that it was the only part of the paper which chronicled man's successes rather than his failures. And let's go to more of your calls. Sita, good morning.
Hi, Michael. I'm a long-time listener, first-time caller. I used to wake up to NPR News on my alarm clock every day, and I had to stop doing that because each time the news came on, there was some news about death or destruction. I had to change to listen a different way of alarm, my iPhone ringing edge sound. And there's a point I'd like to make, is these advertisement companies, marketing companies, use these images and sentences to capture people's attention that last for a long time. And news, bad news specifically, also has the same effect, where it kind of casts the influence over a person's life for the rest of the day. So hearing the bad news basically affects people.
It obviously affects you because you've turned your radio off to wake up in the morning. I mean, if it casts a pall over your whole day and you have that kind of threshold, you probably shouldn't listen to it. Some more of our listeners say, Cheryl writes, unlike some others who have written in, I cannot listen to any details about the oil spill. I knew from day one this was going to be the biggest disaster in U.S. history and maybe the world. When there's even a soundbite about this topic, I want to scream. And when I'm alone, I do scream. I want the people who ignored the warnings about this rig to stand in front of a firing squad. China gets it right on handling evildoers. They should pay for this with their lives. Some strong sentiments there. And here's a listener from Brisbane. Allison says, I enjoy keeping up with the news. What I get is pundit fatigue. If half of the time wasted on punditry was used on investigative reporting, the U.S. might be a very different place right now. And Yvonne says, I'm heartbroken by the images of the birds, turtles, and other wildlife affected by the oil spills and other man-made disasters. That said, I think there's value to understanding the scope of the problem. What keeps me from regular read network news is the heavy bad news aspect. Seems that sensationalism is what keeps people watching. The Oscar Grant shooting was and still is replayed thousands of times. Why do they need to repeat the image ad nauseum? Finally, I do watch This Week with Jake Tapper each Sunday, but I'm dismayed by the constant criticism and search for failure. I'm waiting for someone to say, so how did you accomplish that? Insert your item, good act, instead of how did you fail? You know, the extreme example of images that suddenly became simply too much and too often were the images of 9/11. Finally, most network television just dispensed with showing them altogether. We've got Carol Doherty with us, who is Associate Director of the Pew Research Center for the People and Press and is joining us from the nation's capital. I wanted to check in with you, Carol. Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, let's talk about what people tune out. Wars especially, I guess, huh?
From your research? Well, when you mentioned September 11th, we did a survey in the weeks after September 11th asking people their reactions to the news, and many people did turn it off because it was so horrifying and depressing, they were telling us. And so those images were too much for a lot of people.
Well, there's also, though, a lot of lack of interest, and if a story, for example, like a war in Afghanistan is not covered as much, there's going to be less interest.
Right. No, we've tracked it. You know, when you compare interest levels now to the war in Afghanistan, both coverage and public interest in the war in Afghanistan compared to Iraq, say in 2003, 2004, it's much lower today.
And there's always been less of an interest, with the exception perhaps of what spiked after 9/11, in foreign stories or stories abroad, huh?
No, absolutely. Unless there's this, you know, as in the case of Iraq, especially in the early months, this direct U.S. connection, typically much lower levels for foreign news stories.
What do we know now about the BP story and the way people are or aren't following it?
Well, it's a huge story by our measures. I mean, just this week, for instance, we're about to put out a survey. 66%, two-thirds of Americans are saying it's their top story of last week. That's just an unbelievable figure. It's huge interest. And then we ask people about specific aspects of the story. What are they most interested in? And most people were saying, you know, I think the answers are fairly obvious. Projections about where it might spread, impact on the economy, the environment. But less interest in the kind of blame game accountability questions at this point, and the response of elected officials, sort of the political sparring over the response. So really, what they're interested in is the substance of the story, what's happening, and what might happen next.
The interest in politics seems to move upward when there are real horse races, doesn't it?
Right. I mean, we're 5 months out still. So, from the 2010 elections, I mean, of course, yesterday was a big day in various states across the country, including California. But nationally, this won't really hit a fever pitch until the fall.
But unless there's a kind of Donnybrook in an election or a lot of sensational stuff attached to it, people just don't necessarily have their interest moving upward.
Well, that's true, and midterms attract less interest in presidential elections. But I suspect, you know, when we get past Labor Day, that there'll be a good bit of interest in this campaign. Obviously, with the dissatisfaction with government and Congress, I think there will be a lot of interest this year.
Carol Doherty is Associate Director of Pew Research Center for the People and the Press. Any wisdom to cast on this whole notion of what has so often been called compassion or news fatigue generally?
Well, I think you know, we try to get at it with the Afghanistan question. Typically, one of the interesting things we've found is that when it comes to foreign stories and even the war in Afghanistan, a lot of people say that one of the reasons that they don't tune in as much is because they lack the background to follow this kind of news. They feel a little as if
they're out of their depth.
Yeah, they don't know what's going on exactly, the dimensions of the conflict, the U.S. role, et cetera. They find it a little out of their realm, and so that's one reason. It's not just fatigue, it's just this lack of background. Hmm.
Well, we thank you for joining us. So you got a press conference on this new study today?
We're going to release it in about an hour, and we'll send you a press release.
Good, so we got an exclusive from you, huh?
Yes, people-press.org.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Bye.
Carol Doherty, who is Associate Director of Pew Research Center for People in the Press. Let me read some more of your emails. And if you'd like to email us, you can, of course, at forum, at kqed.org, or you can post a question or comment on our website at kqed.org/forum and click on this segment. This is from Renee, who says, when the Giants lose, I don't listen to the postgame show. Too masochistic. But I cannot justify ignoring wars and other environmental disasters, though natural or man-made. And Lee writes, I struggle with the value of news often, since it seems like people regard news with the same importance as television shows and entertainment news. The news often depresses me, and I find myself constantly angered by the sound bites. I listen all day while I am driving around, but I'm unsure as to why I value being informed, since I don't feel any call to action will result in a difference. Let me go to Santa Rosa. Matthew, thank you for waiting. You're on.
Thank you. I certainly appreciate NPR. And, I try to be as informed as possible, but, you know, like a lot of people, I just get overwhelmed sometimes. And while I love listening to the radio on my way home from work, I'm a returned veteran from Iraq, combat vet, and sometimes when we revisit some of those stories that are, you know, in the war that's still going on, I just got to turn it off as I try to segue successfully back into society here. And I just got to tune it out.
Yeah. It just brings up too many bad memories, huh?
It's not just bad memories. It's just that as I said, segue back into this life, you tend to, I dare say it, forget. And you just, you're trying to, pay the bills and work hard and be a loving husband and all of that. And, boy, it sure does take you back. Good times and bad, yeah. So I got to tune it out sometimes. The other thing that just will send me over the edge is any story on Sarah Palin.
Well, that's quite a pairing there, the war that you saw combat in Sarah Palin.
Yeah.
Thank you, Matthew, for calling, and thank you for the service you gave this country.
My pleasure. Thank
appreciate
you.
Hearing from you this morning, and we'll hear from some others. In fact, if you'd like to join us, it's 866-733-6786, or like I said, you can join us by email, forum@kqed.org, or post your comment on our website, kqed.org/forum, and click on this segment. And, you know, as someone who brings to you news all the time, there are certain stories that I must tell you get to me. I mean, it's my duty, it's my job, it's the mission of public service and all that, but you know, it used to be fun to talk about the California budget. There was a lot of money to go around. Now it can be, more challenging, obviously, because a lot of it is bad news. We'll continue. We'll hear from more of you when we return. You're listening to Forum. I'm Michael Krasny. This is Forum. I'm Michael Krasny, and as terrible pictures of oil-soaked birds and mammals come in from the Gulf of Mexico and painful stories pile up from disasters such as the earthquake in Haiti, we're asking you, our listeners, are you finding it difficult to follow the news, and does staying informed make you more anxious or less? And are there areas of news you choose to opt out of? And do citizens have a responsibility to keep on top of local, national, and international news, or is there a benefit in checking out of current events? These are big questions, I realize, and as a result, we're getting lots of responses from listeners. Let me read some of your emails. Pete says, the way the news is presented by mainstream media is desensitizing. People will either continue to numbingly watch or listen until they turn away and look to celebrate nature and their own humanity, which, by the way, would be a great alternative news material. Frank writes, yes, there is a point of overload, particularly at breakfast time or dinner time. Being bombarded by depressing or bad news so early in the morning or at the end of the day, I reverted to listening to classical, real music. And as an alternative, Jon Stewart on The Daily Show will reset the news in perspective. Another listener who says, I'm 27, if that's important to you. Adam says, throughout the Gulf spill, I've been trying to keep on top of the news, but my attention started to wane once the top kill procedure was declared a failure. It was then that I realized that we were going to have to brace for this spill to continue to get worse in the fall, and the keeping up with the news on a daily basis would be disastrous for my mood and ability to function. I see one way to fix this would be for the news to focus less on the specific tales of woe and more on ways that we can all band together to help out in this epic tragedy. Rady says the abundance of bad news in the media simply reflects the realities of the human experience, which in many ways are a direct result of U.S. government policy internationally and domestically. So for Americans to opt to tune out and turn a blind eye is in essence kicking those victimized, whether human or animal, while they're down. Moreover, if you watch the news and it doesn't turn your stomach, change media sources. Diva writes, I stream, Deva, which may be a diva, but her name be pronounced Deva, I don't know. Says, I stream public radio, either WBEZ in my hometown of Chicago or KQED every day at work. While it can be stressful, aggravating, depressing, etc., to listen to the struggles and misery of the world, it certainly does wonders to keep the trials and tribulations of my inconsequential administrative job in perspective. It's hard to be upset about a broken printer at work while listening to stories about the oil spill or Congo. Greg writes, I feel that the issue of listening to the news is not necessarily the news itself, but rather the urgency that everything is presented in. I feel that most news is presented in a do-or-die and it's-the-end-of-the-world matter. Fortunately, my parents raised me to watch PBS NewsHour. When I was younger, the broadcasts of McNeil and Lehrer bored the heck out of me, but now I found that the lack of sensationalism allows me to learn the actual content and situations happening in the real world. And, of course, it reminds me of something Jim Lehrer once said to me, dare to be dull. That should be the anthem of those of us in public broadcasting. Jesse from Oakland, you're on. Hi.
Hi, Michael. Glad to be on the show.
Glad to have you.
First and foremost, I feel a definite obligation to want to be aware of the world outside of my circle. But secondly, and this is a definite thanks to you and every other journalist and everybody on the NPR staff, during a time for me, very difficult time. I'm going out into the workplace, applying for jobs, and it's a very dehumanizing experience. And NPR has offered me a way to sort of create this this way that I can engage my mind in a complex fashion. And so every morning before I go out to, you know, go out to that workplace and hand out my resumes and shake hands and smile and everything else, I tune in and I can tell my parents, yeah, I'm a radio commentator, and it feels good to have that outlet.
Well, it's good to hear, especially since I know you're what? You're 22, you said to Judy?
Yeah.
Well, good luck in the job hunt. I hope you nab something.
Thank you.
I know it's hard. We're hearing from a lot of young listeners who feel that they're not in this category of those younger demographic numbers that are high, of those who do tune out. And let me bring in Virginia, who's joining us from Berkeley this morning. Good morning.
Good morning, Michael. I enjoy your program very much.
Thank you.
What I wanted to say is, yes, I'm a person who feels that I must, as a citizen, be aware of the news. However, I find it overwhelmingly negative. I feel it emphasizes the negative side of mankind, and that's what interests people. And so I have to consciously go out and search for the good things that are happening. But I want to talk about the Jim Lehrer NewsHour again.
Forgive me for just a moment, if you would, Virginia. Not only the negative, but, you know, the argument one hears frequently is that it also, you know, the sensational, the negative, if it bleeds, it leads, but also the superficial. I mean, particularly in TV news, you know, a lot of it's largely what they call infotainment. It's there for gossip and those kind of purposes. Yeah. I'm sorry.
I know, and I can't stand that because I'm a theater director, and I go for the depth, you know, the meaning, the life-changing, transformational stuff in good theater, good writing. But I wanted to talk about the Jim Lehrer NewsHour. I do make a choice when they announce that they have the pictures of those who have died recently in the armed services. And I let myself watch at each life, their age. I sort of pray, go into a prayer, and bless them, and I feel the loss of their life, their individual life, and look at their faces. And that is the real side of war to me, not numbers. You know, we get cynical with numbers. And so that's what I do.
Well, I'm glad you do it, and I'm glad that the Laird NewsHour does it, because I think you're right. It does humanize the war and bring it home.
Yeah.
And I thank you for your call, Virginia. And some of our other listeners who are emailing, here's a listener who says, I'm 31 years old, longtime listener of NPR. I find the problem with most news sources other than NPR is they focus on trivial political fights, such as who was snubbed and is Obama emotional enough. The lack of substance, I think, makes people avoid the news because they don't learn anything new from it. It's easier to have pundits express their opinion than to do any actual reporting. A listener named Russell says, just wanted to comment on the strange paradox of how people are more willing to tune into violent television and movies. However, when it's reality, they don't want to hear about it. Any thoughts on why that is? And another listener, a longtime KQED listener, so she identifies herself, Kim from Campbell, says, I get almost all my news on the radio, so I don't see pictures much. But recently, I saw some pictures and video from the oil spill, including the underwater plume and the poor oil-covered bird. I was so horrified and depressed. I realized then that images are so much more powerful emotionally. I don't think I could keep up with the news as much as I do if I watched news instead of mainly listening to it. Let's listen to what some more of you, our listeners, have to say. And Leslie is with us from Cloverdale. Good morning.
Good morning. I have avoided network news and newspapers my entire adult life because of crime coverage. I feel that it makes me unhealthy because, you know, there's a natural interest in it, but it's just like dieting. You know, if you eat it because you crave it, it makes you unhealthy. And so I find it difficult to get good news, to keep informed without being inundated with news that would make me paranoid.
How do you sift through? How do you decide?
Well, I end up watching a lot of, or listening to a lot of KQED, actually. But I also prefer the talk shows like this, where I feel that there's a lot of input and things are explored rather than headline news. And you know, and also I appreciate the fact that NPR doesn't cover crime in the same way that networks do. In other words, they don't go for the sensational.
Well, I'm glad you listen to us. And frankly, I think there is an argument to be made for talk shows getting into a kind of conversation and analysis that doesn't just hit you over the head the way, say, some news presentations, particularly where the imagery is concerned, often do. Some more of your emails. Lynn from Palo Alto writes, I'm a parent of young school-age children. I have chosen to be less informed as I would like so I can be a better parent, yet I struggle with the need to stay informed to educate my kids. I still listen to KQED regularly, but turn it off more often. I feel overwhelmed with the bad news in the media. Gratefully, my TV was broken during 9/11. I noticed that I was less traumatized than my peers. Jennifer from Menlo Park says, everyone should read Ode magazine. It's so uplifting to read about people making positive change. And another listener, Karen, writes, good morning. Overall, I take the position that my need for knowledge outweighs the pain of knowing. Political news and economic news is a source of knowledge that I feel I need to make informed decisions. The news about death and destruction from the oil spill, I bear witness to. It causes me grief and anger, but I feel I must know. I do not look at the photos of oil-soaked birds. I could not bear that. I turn down stories of child abuse and abuse in general. Just can't listen as they invoke images in my mind. I'm very aware that these things happen, but I cannot be subjected to them. Overall, I think the media must continue to tell the stories. We must have an informed citizenry. It's nice to hear good news, too. That does help. Inspiring stories of humanity and faith. And Richard writes, I stopped watching, listening to mainstream news a couple of years ago, largely because I felt I was being desensitized to the horror of what's going on in the world lately. I still occasionally listen to NPR programs and various investigative options, but by and large, the only way I can stomach mainstream press is through the filter of The Daily Show. If we constantly are subjected to horrifying imagery, then we risk it becoming the norm and live in a world where that is acceptable. Another listener, Tracy from Oakland, says, I too can hardly tolerate the tough, hard news. Detailed reports of the situations in Rwanda and Darfur cut me to the core, and I have to turn it off after I get the gist of the problem. However, then I feel guilty that I can so comfortably turn off my media while I hear those in need of help saying, don't forget us. What to do? I feel better, even when there are reports of people who are actually doing things to improve upon the situation. Even Kevin Costner's stab at trying to collect oil from the spill, or women who have survived unimaginable tortures and carry on with great spirit. If there is information about how to keep, how to help, excuse me, in whatever small capacity, I usually feel better. And Neil from Sonoma says, excellent topic, but let's not forget the toll bad news takes on those who gather and disseminate it. It's the one thing to be depressed by the daily grind, something quite else to be one of the grinders. Thanks very much. We go to Inverness. David, you're on. Hi.
Yes, good morning, Michael. How are you?
Good morning.
I guess more than the constant drumbeat of bad news, which can become depressing, it's when you see news that has been spun or prepared by spokespersons from all stripes, corporate media, government spokespersons, etc., and you know that they're lying. That might be the strong word nobody wants to use, but it really comes down to that. And that really gets frustrating.
Sometimes it's too mild a word.
Well, that's true. It is. And to me, that is more demoralizing and infuriating than the bad news, because bad news at least gives you some, if it's factual, gives you something to hang action or opinion on, and then you can start to counter the bad situation. But when you're getting information or disinformation that confuses you, then it's really hard to take a position and do anything.
But when there's so much spin and so much disinformation, it's hard to find the wheat from the chaff, isn't it?
Well, and you know, and I'm an NPR addict, but even sometimes I find myself saying, "What are you doing, letting this person get away with this?" And in the news hour several weeks ago, when this very attractive young black woman who was a spokesperson for the oil company was positioned with her hair flying in the breeze and the beautiful Gulf behind, saying that they had the best scientific minds at work on this situation, and she wasn't challenged as to her qualifications to be speaking on behalf of one of the most corrupt, non-technically oriented corporations in the world, despoiling the Gulf. And I'm screaming at the television saying, why aren't you challenging her? Who is she speaking for? Who are these people? And you know that I really appreciate what Neil Conan does when he interviews someone and they start spinning, and he cuts them off and really pushes them to the wall and makes them speak the truth, or at least reveal that they're not speaking the truth.
Well, I thank you for the call, David. It's good to hear from you, and I appreciate your input here. And we'll go to more calls. Let's bring Judy in from San Francisco. Hi, Judy.
Hi. You know, just to me, I can think of yesterday in the election. How many people voted?
It was about 25%.
And those people, those 25%, are going to determine so many things for us. It makes me so depressed. I was at the poll.
You didn't need to hear that figure then. I shouldn't have given it to you. You could have opted out.
No. I think we all need to hear that. That's just 25% of, you know, the voters. Why are those people not voting? Because we feel, at least for me, I feel so helpless. I feel like, you know, like Meg, you know, she's got $1 billion and she can buy her position. Is that what it is? Is that all we have? It's you know, Obama helped me because I felt like my vote made a difference. You know, that we could change something. You know, and all I hear about Obama is how they're beating him up, you know, and every time he tries to go for something.
Well, Judy, I think that the sentiments you're expressing are those of many people who wonder, you know, why be informed? And I thank you for the call, when maybe my vote doesn't matter, and maybe there's so few people voting and so much special interest controlling, what's the use and all that sort of thing. Well, of course, that's not what this democracy is built on, and not what its history is embedded in, and what has made it the republic that it's been. I'm not going to get on my soapbox here, but look, you know, a democracy works best with an informed citizenry. That's a simple equation that I've always felt is axiomatic. Malcolm writes, I think the news of oil spill would be easier to take if there was a periodic public hanging. Okay. David writes, it seems like every summer we hear about some oblivious parent or dog owner who leaves their child or pet in a hot car and the innocent being perishes in a horrible death. It drives me nuts. And yet these horrific stories remind us, especially those dolts who might commit such a senseless act, to be mindful of those that depend upon us. Here's Kevin from Berkeley who says, Michael, it's important to stay tuned to the news, no matter how frustrating or heartbreaking it becomes. It's all too easy to forget that the injustices of our own lives, if we are lucky enough to live comfortably, pale in comparison to the grueling injustice that exists in many other places in the world. If we tune out, nothing will ever get better, particularly because the United States is so influential. It's the responsibility of its citizens to know what is happening. And Alex says, I'm 37. I've never had a problem listening to the news all day, every day. But since the recession, for the first time in my life, I cannot do it. And Michael says, tuning out the media's zeitgeist is not the solution to a stress-free existence. Tuning into the rest of the world and keeping the news in perspective helps me. We need to deconstruct the news and separate the facts from the negative impact that the news is having. The negative impact is caused by the collective perception we're all having to the facts, and we contribute to it by reacting negatively to bad news. Claudia from Sacramento says, of course, one shouldn't rely on them for solid information, but comedy news shows like Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, The Daily Show, and Stephen Colbert give me relief when I can't take more hard news. And Eileen says, always enjoy your program. Thank you. And she says, tuning out, listening is a worthy sacrifice. Sometimes I feel like I'm making an emotional sacrifice to listen to many news programs. However, one of the benefits to having an older brain is increased accumulated knowledge and experience, as well as the ability to make new connections. While it's painful, I want to know because I get information about the world, and that tells me what could happen in the next few months. What about the solvency of pension funds? Will California need the IMF? Should we move now before the next earthquake? I would never feel safe keeping my head in the sand, even if that made me a happier camper. Glad you're willing to take on the news. Well, let me take on more of your calls. And by the way, our toll-free number to remind you is 866-733-6786. Our email address, forum@kqed.org. And you can post a comment on our website, and so many are doing that, and we appreciate it, kqed.org/forum. Lee is our next caller. Hi, Lee.
Hi, Michael. While I think it's absolutely important to be informed and to know what's going on, I think some of the best health advice I ever received was from Dr. Andrew Weil when he said, take a news fast. Turn off the network news, the internet news, and just take a fast, and you'll see just how much pleasure you can get in reading a novel or taking a nature walk and just forgetting about the world's problems for a while. And that's just my comment there. Thank
okay,
you,
I thank you for the comment. And sort of apropos of that, here's a listener named Karma from Oakland who says, I don't know if Andy Weil thinks people should have news fast, but Karma writes, about 2 years ago, I became obsessed with stories about global warming. It was personally distressing. The news isn't just bad, it's unbelievably bad. Pieces of glaciers the size of states falling into the ocean and feedback loops that will make the whole situation unpredictable, but almost certainly far worse than all projections. I even started a blog for a while for other people to deal with not just climate change, but our emotional reaction to it. I realized I was going through the stages of grief. Now I'm disappointed to say that I've reached the final stage of grief, acceptance. I hear about the latest progress of the latest glacier, and I pass the link along to my friends, blogs, and aggregators, but it doesn't fill my belly with the kind of rage that leads to action. People continue to disbelieve that climate change is an urgent problem, and I shrug my shoulders. These people are still in the early stages of denial. We may or may not survive. It's tainted my appreciation of other news, too. Even the oil spill is irrelevant compared to the magnitude of what we're facing with climate change, and the lack of action being taken on that story only reflects what I already know to be true. Let me go to Novato. Kim, join us. Hi.
Hi, good morning. Thank you for the opportunity. I, too, have become overwhelmed with the news, and I do get depressed, and I do turn it off. However, I feel a tremendous amount of guilt about the luxury of turning off bad news. The Iraqis have no choice but to live with our policies, and they are being bombed and hurt and starved, and, you know, much of the bad news that we have the luxury to turn off is a result of our policies, and the people that are suffering have no choice but to live with it every day. And that's my comment.
And I thank you for that comment. And on we go to more of your comments and remarks. Paul from Pacifica, good morning.
Hi there.
Hi.
I've just been listening for a bit, and I'm listening to people talk about the emotional impact of having to pay attention to the news. And I just feel it's such a self-absorbed position. People need to participate. They need to be informed. They need to suck it up, listen to the news. Then they need to participate. Listening to people talk about how horrible it is to listen to news that really, you know, it's just, it's mind-numbingly self-absorbed.
Well, you might concede the fact that some people have a different temperament and different ability to absorb things, perhaps,
right,
than you do.
If they don't participate, then, you know, nothing's going to change. I mean, I understand that not everybody is...
It's not all self-absorption is all I'm saying, Paul.
Well, I think it is. I really think that we live in a society that just encourages people to worry about themselves. The news is about something that's outside of you. It's not about you.
We live in a narcissistic culture, as Christopher Lash said in the book that was very attuned to that whole phenomenon. But I don't think necessarily that everybody who just can't stand story. A lot of people internalize stories that they hear and are really affected by it emotionally. I mean, we've been hearing that in the course of this hour, but I do appreciate your point of view, and we'll get some other callers on. Michael, good morning.
How you doing, Michael? I call him off and on. What I'd like to say is I spend a lot of time in my taxi, and I listen to a wide variety of reports, and I think what the previous gentleman used the word participation, which is key. I think a lot of people really feel loss of control because they're unable to have discourse and communicate and have exchange. Like, for instance, that your program enables us to do by profiling certain current events and enable people to call in and actually participate and have discourse and forum. And I think that's real important because the frustrating thing about daily reporting is, and all the horrendous topics they speak about, is we're not unable to really participate and get something out of that.
The advantage of doing a call-in show is that it's two-way. It's active participation, and it's more in keeping in some ways with the democratic process. I mean, I don't mean to give the stiff to newspapers here. They do publish letters in the, you know, the editorial page and so forth, but they screen them. Well, so we screen calls too, but I mean, they're not immediate, and they're often edited, and, you know, this is what it is.
Exactly. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you for the call. Michael from Menlo Park says, rather than turn off bad news, do something. Upset about the oil spill? Conserve energy. War in Iraq or Afghanistan? Write a letter to your representative. Corporate corruption? Choose where you spend your money consciously. Just a few suggestions to live deliberately. And we'll go to more of your calls. Rebecca, hi. You're on the air.
Hi. Thank you so much. And just following up on some of the people who have been saying participate, I think even the smallest things we do make such a huge difference in how we feel, and we should put our news watching and listening to on a schedule. It helps a lot. Otherwise, it sort of becomes pornography. And I wanted to say, you know, as long as we're driving, we're still involved in this oil spill. So get out and walk and hang out your clothes. Those are ways to participate. And one of the most meaningful things that my family and I do is visit old folks. It's just, you know, it puts things in perspective. Thanks.
Thank you for that call. And there's a good message in that, visiting older people, seniors, taking that kind of responsibility seriously. That's also a wonderful way to express one's citizenship, it seems to me. And talking here just about how the news affects you and just the variety of calls and comments on the website and emails that have come in show that there's a whole continuum that, you know, people respond in so many different ways to different kinds of stories. And some people find it's absolutely necessary and vital to keep up and to pretty much tune in on a consistent basis. And, you know, we've heard, like I say, the other side of that coin from many of you who just feel that it's too much sometimes. I mean, just the younger callers who say, I don't want to hear about the recession. I'm out there looking for jobs. It gets me too down. Let me go to Berkeley, and Adam joins us. Good morning, Adam.
Hi. I wanted to respond to the person who was talking about how tuning out is self-absorbed. And I wanted to say that I kind of agree with him, but at the same time, I think one of the reasons why people do tune out is because they just don't feel like they're empowered to help out, you know? I think if the news put a lot more effort and kind of efforts people can do to help alleviate these things that are going on, then they'd feel more able to actually pay attention to the news and be aware of these things.
That would be tough for a news service to provide. I mean, in other words, you're suggesting almost something that goes away from just disseminating or presenting the news to say, here's how you can, you know, it's the old line, if you don't like the news, go out and change it or do something about it, that we've been hearing from some of the listeners here.
Well, my suggestion to that would be to do some features on local and nationwide charities, nonprofits, organizations that are doing their best to mobilize effort and to showcase what they're doing and to give people outlets into, you know, plugging into these organizations and helping out.
So plug in the nonprofits to the news dissemination, huh?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't feel like people have enough awareness of the kind of things that are going on aside from the things that are going wrong.
All right, Adam, I thank you for that, and let's hear from Al next. Hi, Al.
Hi. My comment is that I don't have any problem listening to the news. In fact, I enjoy the news and look forward to it, but most of what you hear is just repetitive stuff that is not news. It's just sensational information to get to hype the listening, but it's not informed information like programs like Forum and other such programs on NPR. And that's what overwhelms me, just listening repetitively, the oil spill, and just the same stuff over and over that doesn't really inform, but just irritates and annoys.
Yeah, just think about all those streamers going on cable news day and night. Thank you, Al. Here's Mary from Berkeley, who says, regarding good news only media, Linda Ellerbe, a name I haven't heard in many years, said that she had been in countries in which the only news on TV and radio was good news and that no one would want to live in those countries. We're lucky to be able to hear bad news as well as good news. Just a couple more comments from listeners. Tara writes, I'm 28 years old and have tuned into the news regularly since I was 18 and old enough to vote. I absolutely believe it is our moral duty as citizens of the world to stay informed. When people choose to tune into reality TV instead of the news, things like the Iraq War happen because so many uninformed people support it. Problems cannot begin to be addressed until they are known. What's more is the news is humbling and helps keep things in perspective in our own lives. Some positive news stories would certainly be welcome and encouraging. Well, I thank you for this hour. It has been really a fascinating hour in many ways, and I appreciate all of you who have called in or have put comments on the website or have sent us emails. It's an ongoing discussion and something that we need to be constantly aware of and assess in our own minds, it seems to me. And I thank you for being with us for this hour of Forum. In fact, thank you for your listenership. We're here with you Monday through Friday, 9 to 11. An hour is repeated 10 to 11 in the evening. I want to thank Senior Editor Dan Zoll, producers Kevin Guillory and Judy Campbell, engineer Danny Bringer, executive producer Raul Ramirez. I'm Michael Krasny.
Funds for the production of Forum are provided by the members of KQED Public Radio and the Claude and Louise Rosenberg Jr. Family Foundation.